can see that you have two individuals for sure, perhaps three. Should I be using this?
Yes, you need
okay.
to.
Okay. And that they are pastors, shepherds, sensitive, kind, very loving. I am also. I love you guys, and I believe that the primary thing is love. You, if you prophesy, if you lead the world to salvation, and you have not love, you're a clanging cymbal. You, love is the principal thing. But I am an evangelist, and my last name being Bernstein is an indication of the fact that I always, and it's interesting, enjoyed starting fires when I was a kid in a mischievous way.
That's not uncommon.
Not uncommon. But today I enjoy starting fires even more. And I was meditating about what to speak about this morning. And I believe the Lord wants to give you a word of encouragement, a word of enthusiastic reproof, and not because of any one of our faults. We have inherited a lifestyle in the Western body of Messiah that was never the intention of the Lord when he first called his disciples around 2,000 years ago. A lot has happened. A lot of times I like to take notice of the music and the songs that we sing from our hearts to God through worship. And I couldn't help but notice that the words today were about giving him it all. And a lot of times, as an evangelist, but not as a pastor, when I hear everyone singing that you deserve all the glory, I am yours, sometimes inside, and I need to repent of it in a certain way because I can't allow it to affect me emotionally, but when I hear it, sometimes I'm saying to myself, really? Because, and the Lord, you see, the Lord is able to say anything to anyone because he is pure love. But he does live inside of me. And he does say that we are not to love with our words only, but in what we do. And what we, and the way we live is more of an indication of our love for him. Am I right or wrong? He had the biggest problem with the people who were most religious and said the right things. He said, you appear to be righteous. But he knew what was inside of them, because the Lord looks at the heart. You know, Joe, he's the one, Joe's the one that the Lord is healing right now. But you know, he has a whole bunch of family, physically and in the spirit, and people that he never met, maybe never will, interceding and praying for him. But what about the person And I'm sure there were others that were in accidents, probably even the same day as him, all throughout this country and the world, and has no one praying for them. What about those who do not know the Lord? What about those who are perishing? What about those who have no hope? Last week, I asked everyone to stand if they felt that they had a real lack of love for the lost. And you know, every one of you stood. Every one of you came up here to repent. But you know, one of the things that really has always troubled me in going to meetings on weekends, because I'm Jewish, I go on Saturdays. And so when I go to a church, it's on a Sunday. But people are always repenting and giving their lives back to Jesus. Again and again and again. It's as if they give it to him and they take it back. I want you to think about that. At one point, have we not all fully given our lives to him? In fact, have we not said, and when asked by others, that he, Yeshua, that Jesus is the Lord of my life? Amen. And my question to you is, with all the love I could muster up, really? Now, hearing the response of who's going to... Now, it's not like that we're having a lunch here. But we're engaged in a complete shift of becoming normal. You see, and I was saying this last week, you are the saints according to the word of God. You are called before the foundation of the world. You are absolutely special and unique, and there is a huge, huge task that God has brought you into his kingdom for. And what we're trying to do today, I stumbled into this. I mean, I can't even take any credit for it, but what we're trying to do is equip you to fulfill what God has created you to do. Now, if you're going to go visit Joe this afternoon, if you need to speak to somebody about eternal matters, if you are really under it and need to work today, then fine. I mean, that would be God's will. But if you're going to do something that can be done at another time, you're making a mistake. You see, we are very used to, and pastors agree with me all the time when I talk to them about this, that most people follow Jesus because he gives them a better life. But he said, if you find your life, you are going to lose it. So I'm sorry to speak these words in red that you don't hear much about from the pulpit. But these are his words. And so the most loving thing that we can do is to speak the truth to one another until we are all living for him. Being engaged in outreach once a week or once every 2 weeks is not going to change your life. But you know what? I'm finding out even that is proving to be difficult for most. We're calling this the Sunday of 70 because of the 70 that the Lord first sent out. I would say that if you really are in the new covenant, if you've given your life to the Lord, you're among the 70, and if you're not, you need to make some major changes, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. It's never going to happen tomorrow. We met Hazel. We met all of these people just by going. I was hungry. I had a salad at Whole Foods, and lives were changed. And you know what? It was mostly our lives that were changed. Wouldn't you say that? This is not something that is going to cost your blood yet. But it'll cost you maybe Sunday afternoon. Is he really that worthy? We sang how worthy he is. Is he worthy for you to give up Sunday afternoon? Maybe not that worthy. Maybe not that worthy. The Lord said, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. He only corrects his children. He's not correcting the world. They're not in his sheepfold. He wants to bring them in to his sheepfold. You're already in, but you're not in to eat the fat of the land. In fact, if you are, his word to you is one word: woe. The Apostle Paul says, woe. Now, he did a lot of stuff, and he said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Proclaiming the word of God is purely being like him and loving people. That's what we're called to. You know it. But to just know it and not do it is worse than not knowing it. About 40 years ago, here I am, a Jewish guy growing up in the Woodstock generation. I had no idea. I was really confused. My family was dysfunctional. My parents did not have a good marriage. I didn't even like going home at night. I'd be out on the streets a lot. You know, I'd come home so I wouldn't get in trouble, you know. But I came home at the last minute because I just, you know, kind of didn't enjoy being in my home. And I began at a certain point saying, what is this all about? Why am I here? And as I grew older, I met different people, and I was part of the Woodstock generation. I was at Woodstock. I was Woodstock. And I'll tell you, I went to, you know, people put Woodstock on a pedestal. When young people hear I was at Woodstock, they want to worship me almost. But Woodstock was not only 3 days of music, and there was not peace there. There was maybe some of the people listening to the concert, but it was the world in its epitome, and all kinds of sin and horrible things were going on everywhere. And as I got older, not too long after that, I began searching like a lot of people in my generation. Especially, you know, it's interesting, a lot of Jewish people we're searching for something more, searching for something. To try to figure out, what's the deal here? Why are we here? And so I began exploring anything and everything I could find. And I was living with some guy, and one day he was standing on his head. And I said, "What are you doing?" He was doing yoga. And so he had a book about yoga. And I picked it up, and I started reading it and started doing yoga exercises, really getting loose and, stretching and doing things I was never able to do. And then I kept on reading in the book, and it became spiritual and started talking about God and, like, finding the God within and all this kind of stuff. And it sounded, like, really interesting. And I was thinking that, wow, the Indians are a very ancient people. They probably know some hidden truths. And in the Western world, I mean, just getting older and getting a job and having children, and that's the end of it. Could that be? Could that be all there is? Is it, was there something, is there something more? And so I began to go to these ashrams. Do you know what an ashram is? An ashram is a place where like devotees of a guru would go. And I would go to these places, and there would be a lot of Jewish people. They would say their names like, "What's your name?" "My name is Sri Bhagwan." I said, "But what name did your parents give you?" "Oh, Byron Goldstein." And so my experience at these ashrams were that these people, they didn't have it. They were, I didn't sense love there. I felt that they were cliquish. You know what I'm saying? Then I went to all kinds of things. Then I went to this place called Hilda's Meditation in Greenwich Village. And Hilda, I didn't know at the time, was really what the Bible would call a clairvoyant. And so she was on her way to India to meet her guru, who later I found out was a pedophile and worse. And so this was the spiritual leader of that group. And so before she left for India, she was asking who would want to meditate on a specific master. So she'd go, who wants to meditate on Krishna? And people would raise their hands. I mean, she even had a vision, not a real vision, at one of her meetings of, believe it or not, three Jewish guys, the Marx Brothers. I mean, that's how zany this, everything was so zany back then. And so she's asking people to, who wants to worship this master, that master, who wants to spend the whole week thinking about Buddha? And people are raising their hands. And then she says, "And who would like to meditate on Jesus?" And I just go like this, "I'll take Jesus." He just seemed a lot more normal than these other guys. So little by little, something was cooking. I kept on meditating. And one day, 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up and started to meditate. I was reading about all this stuff called samadhi and kundalini and trying to access the latent power of the one omnipresent one and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm kind of meditating, but for some reason, I grabbed my prayer shawl, my tallit from when I was bar mitzvah. And I'm meditating in lotus position with my prayer shawl on and nothing else. And And if God himself ever said, and if God ever himself said, and I'm sure he must have, the words, oy vey, he did right then. And I heard him speak to me. And it might have even been in a Yiddish accent. And he said, and I didn't know it was God, but it was a strong voice in my heart. What are you doing? You are Jewish. I said to myself, The two things I knew about Judaism that were real, undeniably, were that there was a language called Hebrew and there was a place called Israel. And I thought to myself, it is the Sabbath day. And I've been to synagogue many times on the Sabbath because I had to. I had to either go to a wedding for the service or a bar mitzvah for the reading of the Haftarah, but not as an adult to just go there. And go. I used to go on the High Holy Holidays because my parents went. But not ever as an adult did I observe the Sabbath day. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to observe the Sabbath and see what happens. So my brother called me up like about 8 o'clock in the morning. It was like 4 hours later after. And said, well, you know, I'm going to go to the park to shoot some hoops and play some basketball. And so why don't you meet me there? Or I'll pick you up. I don't remember. And I said, no. I'll meet you there, but I'm going to walk there. It's the Sabbath. Now, he must have thought I was, doing a lot of drugs the night before. So I began to take a walk, cognizant of, hey, it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to drive and, taking a walk. Why not? So I'm walking to the park. About 10 minutes into my walk, comes out of nowhere a man with a dark beard and piercing blue eyes. And he says to me, how, he says, doesn't say hello, he goes like this to me, how is your faith in Jesus? I said to him, I'm Jewish, and I don't believe in Jesus. He said to me, that's funny. I'm Jewish, and I do. And I said, how can you? What a mistaken question that was. He showed me everything almost there is in the Hebrew Bible, which he had, about Jesus. I didn't even know his name was Yeshua back then. It was Jesus. Jesus was in all over the place, in the book of Micah, in the book of Isaiah, in a bunch of places in Isaiah, in Zechariah, and whoa, I got nervous. See you later. Goodbye. I had to get away. Kept on walking. Now, you see, I was looking for the truth, supposedly. Not for Jesus, though. Come on. Keep walking. 10 minutes pass. I see another man approaches me. He had a dark beard and piercing blue eyes. You know what he asked me? How is your faith in Jesus? I said, didn't I just meet you? What did you just run ahead to talk to me again? Well, the first person I met was Jay Edelman. And that next person was his identical twin brother, Charles. That's why I always say, trust me, I never found Jesus. He found me. everything that the first twin didn't tell me and show me in the Bible, he did. This time I went away shaken on the inside. Met my brother, probably shot some hoops, sort of forgot about it in a way. I think he gave me a little Gospel of John. 2 weeks later, I was on my way to Manhattan, New York City, to go to a jazz concert on the Staten Island Ferry. Takes about maybe a half hour to get to Manhattan. Well, who do you think is on the ferry boat? One of the twins surrounds me with a bunch of his friends. Surrounds me and just says, "You need to be saved." And I thought, whoa. I didn't really know what that meant at all, but I knew that this Jesus guy was real and he was after me. And I didn't want to get too close. I'll tell you why. I knew that what I was doing was not kosher. They didn't say anything to me. I knew I would have to stop using agricultural products. I knew that it was not right for me to continue to be living with my girlfriend. I didn't want to change any of that. But here I was. The ferry boat stopped. These guys got on their hands and knees on the park, overlooking the World Trade Tower. I'm looking around to see if anybody knows me. This is rush hour. And I said to myself, okay, Bernstein, big shot. You're searching for the truth, huh? This is it, and you know it. What are you going to do? They started praying for me and asked me to pray with them, and I did. Never been the same since. I went to the concert. After maybe 20 minutes in the concert, I stood up, I left the concert, and I just looked around, and the sky was bluer, the grass was greener, and I felt like I lost 100 pounds off of my back, and I said, something just happened to me. And I started speaking to God for the first time in my life. And then I met somebody that tried to sell me drugs. Really? And there was like a drought of good drugs in the city during this time. And he had good drugs. And I would have normally said, sure, how much? But I said, I can't. I just did this thing called getting saved. And he goes like this to me. Oh, I used to be saved. And I went, whoa. And I got away from this guy. I immediately went to my family and said, you must be born again. I went on the roof. No. I had no wisdom, and just recently I've undid the damage that I did that first week with my family. I mean, I actually went to my friend who I'm going to see in Sarasota. His name is Robert Mazur. Pray for him. I know him since I'm 4 years old. I went into his house. I put on my prayer shawl, and I started preaching Jesus to him. He freaked out. And my friends all would, you know, I kept all my old friends, and when they would see me, they would say, "Hey, Bernstein, how's Jesus doing?" But nowadays, they want to talk to me. And I even said to them recently, "You guys are getting older. Pretty soon, it's going to be too late. And you know what? I'm getting tired of talking to you about this." And they go, "No, no, don't give up on us." It's the truth. In fact, all of my friends' wives, they can't stand me. You know why? Because after I speak to my friends who bring it up to me, I mean, I don't even talk to them anymore about spiritual things. But as soon as I see them, they start talking to me about heaven and hell and everything. And then after I'm done talking to them, even though they don't know the Lord, they begin to preach and share with their wives. And their wives blame me. Jewish people that do not yet know the Lord are already preaching the gospel. Do you know how dangerous the Jews are to the Jewish people when they enter the kingdom of God? They are the ones Yeshua said about them. Salvation comes from them. To them is entrusted the oracles of God. These are the guys that had the goods. When they get the goods again, watch out. But you're called. You're called to bring the goods back to them. What in the world are you doing later today? Are you going to be playing bingo? Come on. The Lord will provide the food. Come on, are you going out to eat? Are you going to meet a friend? Call them right now. You have a phone. Invite them. If they're not believers, all the better. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have our own lives to lead, but they belong to Him. Unless you're confused. But there is no confusion with Him. There's only yes or no. Black or white. You're for Him or against Him, and you're gathering with Him or scattering. I want to encourage you, do not be an outsider when it comes to this. This is not a program, a new program, or a new initiative of Heritage Community. This is who, and I'm going to say this is who we are, because I'm part of you. Am I right? There are thousands of Hazels who we met the other day. There are maybe tens of thousands that are actually waiting to meet us. It is, you know what? There should not be a need in a way to be equipped this afternoon, because you should already be equipped. But it's better to get it right on this side of eternity than to wait. Because when the Son of Man comes, He's going to come for fruit. And many are called. Many are going to say, "Well, I went to meetings every single week." Do you think that's going to matter much to Him? I don't think so. I'm telling you, we are to meet together, to encourage one another as we see the day drawing near. Why was that spoken? Because of the hardness of the real life of being a disciple. We're looking for Him, we're waiting, and we're hastening His coming. But when our lives are comfortable and so nice here, well, you know, in a way, do you really want Yeshua to come back? He might kind of like ruin things a little. It's time for us, and it's all throughout the scriptures, and I say this in love, wake up. it is time for us to wake up. You know, I prepared a message. Let me start. No. You see, I was thinking, you might even be pinching yourself right now, hoping this is a dream. Because to follow Yeshua and to be his disciple, like the song, it costs everything. He doesn't want part of you. I think I could say this with confidence. He wants all of you or none of you. He is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share you with anyone. Certainly not your passions. And there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Listen, we've all given into the flesh for so long, we don't even recognize the battle anymore. Am I speaking the truth? Part of our life has not been real. Better to say, it's not been biblical. The first disciples, now they worked. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to stop going to school. But you are salt and light, not only wherever you are, but we're coming here in order to be strengthened, encouraged, to worship the King, to be filled with his spirit, and then to be sent out and to change this city, which is on its way to hell. Things are worse now by far than they ever have been in my lifetime, and as far back in history as I can go, I think that they were worst in the Middle Ages, and they were real bad then. I mean, I can't figure out any of this sometimes. Two guys getting married to each other, coming to pastors to be counseled. I think that I had to fill out a form recently, male, female, or other. Come on! The apostles. You know, raise one of you pastors, raise your hand if I'm going too long. It's up to me. What time are we eating lunch? Ha ha! Is anyone starved? Good. If you are, you're lying. No one's starving. I look at the Acts of the Apostles, and it's amazing. It's amazing, the Acts of the Apostle. It says that more than ever. This is just the life of the first disciples of the Lord. More than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, not just a few, both men and women. Okay, so they got in trouble for doing this stuff. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the door and brought them out and said, what did the angel say? Go home and have some soup. Go home and enjoy your family. Go home and, kind of like rest a little. You've been in prison for a while, and I'm sure, you know, you have some bumps and bruises. No. The angel of the Lord said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Do we need to go to prison to be set free by angels before we speak to people words of life? It says, and when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak. A thought came to me. I've never did this before. Why not meet together at daybreak and go to a place where there are people? Anybody want to meet me tomorrow morning at 5:30? Anybody else? I mean, I was like,
you know, partly like, partly joking, but not really. I mean, anybody else? Any of you old people? All right. It gets light at about what time?
Seven.
Oh, it's seven. Six? So can we meet here at 5:30 in the morning? Will it be open? Can we get a key?
I have a key.
Is it okay?
Yeah. I've
got a key. Pastor Randy, is it okay?
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah. You have a key?
I have a key.
Raise your hand again. Tomorrow, 5:30. Come on, we could use a few more. Come on, where are you? Everybody else, like, what, getting beauty sleep or something? You think it's going to help? Okay, how many more would come if I made it at 6? Ah. Okay, 6:50. Okay, I'll tell you what. 6:30. Okay. Everybody coming?
For how long?
I would say even an hour or less. I mean, we're just going to show up at daybreak and go to where people are getting coffee, and we're going to speak to them the words of this life and see what happens. Einstein's, right. We'll see how smart these people are by eating Einstein's bagels. Okay, so when they did this, though, it says they entered the temple at daybreak. They listened to the angels, just like you guys. Congratulations. And this is what happened. Someone came and told the authorities, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple, and they're teaching everybody. So they come together again, and they said, they maybe rearrested them, said, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us?" But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." What about us? Has anyone charged us not to preach or teach in his name? Anyone? Do we still live in a place that has absolute amazing freedom? Why don't we use it? Why don't we use the freedom? Why don't we really enjoy the freedom that we have in this country? And there are new immigrants, and we were talking about this yesterday, Randy and myself, that come here, and the thing that hits them the most is the freedom, that we have the freedom of speech. A lot of the world doesn't. You can't. A lot of the people that were in Kazakhstan when I were there were thrown out. While it is yet day, before, you know, once they throw us in prison for doing this, then you know what? Then you're going to start doing it. Otherwise, you could be set free and you know, become, you know, worship the beast, whatever is going to happen. You know what I'm saying? There's a cost, and the cost, you know, in a certain way, the cost in a place where there's freedom, it's a greater cost to a degree because it is a complete choice. It's a complete choice. Gamliel, the rabbi, and I'll try to close soon, he said, "In presenting this case, I said, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or undertaking of men, it will fail. But if it's of God, you will not be able to overthrow them." So they took his advice, but you know what? They called in the apostles, and they beat them anyway. But they charged them not to speak in the name of Yeshua and let them go. And you know what they did? They left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Do you think they listened to those guys? The next verse is, and every day. Not once a week, not once every 2 weeks. Every day in the temple and at home, in their communities, they did not stop teaching and preaching Yeshua, Jesus, as the Messiah. This was the life imparted by the Messiah to his disciples. He's never changed. None of this is different today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has called us to do the same. Let's get equipped. I thought you had to do this. See, the people that led me to the Lord, they were out there in the morning on a Saturday. They could have been going to brunch. They could have been going to a baseball game. But they were out on the street because the love of God worked through them to find a very confused and lost person who was searching for the truth, and he is the truth. What about, there are many, I guarantee you, there are many like me. There are many who are like you that are there searching, and no one is telling them. No one. Hazel was saying to us yesterday, she never heard this stuff before. The girls that were being ministered to, that's never happened to them. The Lord said the harvest is plentiful, and I'll tell you, it's more plentiful now than it was in the 70s. But the laborers are more few than they were even then. God is calling us. The Word of God, when the Lord speaks, the Word to us always is, and always has been throughout the Scripture, when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And if your heart is hard, then let's pray for God to give you His heart. You know, I don't know where the term a bleeding heart comes from, but if anyone has a bleeding heart, it's Him. We are to go out why is he called a man of sorrows? Because he was with people. He loved people. If you love people, you're going to experience their grief and their sorrow, and you're going to be able to bring healing and love, which every human being desperately needs, even the terrorists. Even the terrorists. There are people in this city, in this area, I'm telling you, they need you. God wants to use you to make His appeal to them to be rescued. Do the work of an evangelist. Be unfailing in patience, in season and out of season, when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. And now is a time to come before God. We repented last week, but it doesn't stop. Being a follower of the Messiah means we're always repenting. We're always being saved. We're moving toward His image. We're being changed into His likeness. And this is one huge way, because He came to seek and to save the lost. That is His heart. That is who He is. His name, Yeshua, has to do with He is salvation. He's not called worship. He's not called praise. He's called Yeshua. He is salvation. He is the salvation of Israel and the world, and He is in you. His salvation is in you to bring to those who are lost and are in desperate need.
Thank you, Abba. Father, I want to pray. I want to pray for everyone in the sound of my voice. Lord, we come before you. And yes, you are worthy. You are worthy. You alone are worthy. But we ask you to make us so that we embrace the honor of being your tongue and your voice to this generation, to this world. We don't see you walking the earth these days because you are seated at the right hand of Abba Father. And if you wanted to come here and walk around, you can and you do at times. And you can right now if you will. But does your word not say that we are your body, that we are to function like you, and that we are even to do greater works? God Almighty, have mercy on us. Ask you, Father God, that you would not only have many today rearrange their schedules today, but to rearrange our lives. Rearrange us, Lord God, so that we make it a certain thing that we can say to you without shame that we are seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, and everything else is behind us and takes not even a close second. In the name of Yeshua, Father, release your power to heal, to see in the spirit. Lord, let this be a time where this community begins to sense the presence of God. That what happens here in worship happens out there. That we bring your worship, your praise, and your presence into the streets of Columbia, Ellicott City, the malls, into Baltimore, wherever you send us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.